Right, take your Bible, if you would please, today and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6. I want to look at about three verses of Scripture, and I'll try not to be too long this morning. I know everybody's anxious about the weather and all the things that are going on outside, and I understand that. And certainly we want everybody to get back home safely and all those kind of things. And be a good day to preach on Noah, I guess. Amen. Be a good day to preach on Noah and the ark. And you, by the way, if you're not on the ark, you better get on it. Amen. Of course, the ark being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly people made preparation all week. They've been hollering for a week and a half now. Storm's coming. You better get ready. They started last Monday going to the grocery stores and swamping the grocery stores and buying their generators. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that this morning. And I tell you what, there's a greater storm coming that people are not making preparation for. And that's to meet the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how sad that is this morning. But I do appreciate you coming and being in this service on this Sunday morning. And I pray that God has already blessed you and helped you. I was blessed in the Sunday school. I'm blessed with the good singing this morning. And I pray God will bless us again as we gather around the Word of God together here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We're going to start reading. Pick up our reading in verse number 9. Read verses 9, 10, and 11. And I thought about this as I read these verses of Scripture. Of course, we know Paul is addressing the church at Corinth, and we know within the church at Corinth there was some issues and there was some problems, and I'm not going to deal with those this morning in the message, but of course, dealing with even a situation here in chapter number 6 about the believers going against one another, of course, before certainly those there in Corinth, instead of settling matters between themselves. And again, I'm not going to get into all that, but you come down to verse number 9. And Paul reminds us of some things in verse number 9, 10. And verse number 11 is where I really want to preach from this morning on this thought. I once was lost, but now. I once was lost, but now. I want you to think about that as we read the text this morning. Have prayer and bring the message that God's placed upon our heart for the hour. If you find your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you're able to stand this morning, out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Notice now in these verses of Scripture, verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice that. Now I'm not going to deal with all those this morning. You probably know in your own heart and your own mind certainly what all those mean. And if you don't, we may discuss that at another point. But verse number 11 is what I really want to zero in on this morning. And such were past tense, I like that. And such were some of you. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Now here's where I really want to get to this morning. But ye are washed. Hallelujah. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let me say right there, amen goes right there. Hallelujah. I once was lost, but now. But now. We'll deal with those three things, but now. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence this morning, Father, as humble as we know how to come. Lord, we thank you for this another Lord's Day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. And thank you for these this good Scripture that we've read into the hearing of your people here this morning. And God, I just pray right now, Father, as your servant, that Father, you will anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray that you touch my heart, my mind, and my mouth, that, Lord, I would say those things that need to be said in the service this morning. Lord, you know who's here. Lord, you know what needs to be said. Lord, what needs to be done. And I just pray that, God, you just meet with us. Thank you for the good singing. Father, thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. And I do pray now once again as I stand in this place that, God, you'd anoint me afresh and anew. Help me, Lord, as I stand, that would we be encouraged and strengthened and challenged of your word today, that certainly we'd always also worship and glorify you, Father, today because of the salvation that we have through and by the Lord Jesus. And Father, if it happened to be one here, Lord, they've never trusted you as Savior, I pray that, Father, this very day, that, Father, you convict them and draw them. Lord, they come to know you in a free pardon of sin. And I realize today that, folks, there's people hurting and, Lord, all kinds of things going on around in our very own state here today. And I do pray for them this morning. And I do pray you put a hedge of protection about every individual and every family that's here this morning. Thank you again for the opportunity and privilege to be here. I pray bless our time now around the Word of God together. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you have done. Father, for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Again, the title this morning, again, drawing our thought out of verse number 11 is, I once was lost, but now. As Paul writes again to the church at Corinth, he is reminding the believers to be not deceived, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody is not going to heaven, unfortunately, this morning. Now, they could, and certainly we realize that we're all sinners this morning, as we're either sinners still in our sin, or we're sinners saved by the good grace of God. I'm glad to report to you that I've been saved by the good grace of God. But here Paul reminds them that everybody is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Friend, you cannot go without knowing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible this morning. And so he reminds them here in this text that they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He also reminds them that they have that they too was one time lost and in sin, as each of us was, as I've already said this morning. But simply today we need to be reminded again here in this text that I once was lost, but now. And certainly realizing that today, realizing that there's been a change, that we certainly should live like it. And we should deal with one another like saved folks are supposed to deal with one another and live before the world as we should this morning. And again, Paul addresses several different issues within that church at Corinth. And I'm not going to deal with that. But I do want to deal with this thought this morning. I once was lost, but now. Now we come to verse number 11. And Paul mentions three things that I want to look at here for just a few moments this morning. For the child of God, we ought to rejoice in these three things today, because these are supernatural acts of God that only God can do in the heart and the life of an individual. Friend, you can't save yourself. Friend, you can't redeem yourself. Friend, you can't make yourself righteous today in the sight of Almighty God. But aren't you glad through the supernatural work of the Holy Ghost of God, when you and I will trust Him, all the work that takes place in the heart and the life of an individual. Oh yes, I was one time lost, but now. But now, first of all, but now here, coming back to the text, first of all, but now I have been washed. I have been washed. You say, preacher, what's so significant about that? Well, if you look at those two preceding verses, you find some certain sins that are mentioned there. And we're not going to go over those this morning. As we all know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, today, when God looked at us in our sin, He seen somebody that was dirty. He seen somebody that was filthy. He seen somebody that was not fit, if you will, in that condition for the kingdom of God. But hallelujah to the Lamb of God. When you and I come to the realization, thank God through the preaching of the Word of God that drew our hearts, I thank God to repentance and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost of God done a supernatural work in my heart and in my life. Friend, I'll tell you what, here Paul says, thank God that ye are washed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God this morning that washed our sins away. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, you'll find it talked about a covering for sin, those sacrifices and all those things. But friend, when you come to the New Testament and you come to Calvary and you come to what Jesus done there on the cross of Calvary, and when you come to that place of repentance, hallelujah, my sins didn't get covered. My sins got washed away. I got washed clean that Sunday morning that I stepped out by faith and received the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that ought to excite us this morning, knowing we was dirty and filthy in the sight of God, but because we put faith in His darling Son, that He washed us, and He washed us clean. Hallelujah. I'm no more guilty in the sight of God. And if you've been to Calvary, you've trusted Christ today, you are no more guilty in the sight of God. Oh, yes, I was guilty. Oh, yes, I deserved hell. Oh, yes, I deserved punishment. Oh, yes, I deserved judgment. But thank God, I'm glad that He washed me this morning. Hallelujah. I've been washed. The word washed, as it's used here in the text, it means to wash fully. Can you remember as a child when you was growing up and a mom or dad, somebody tell you to go take a bath? You just kind of go through the water. They'd ask you, did you get behind your ears? And did you get here? And did you get there? Well, a lot of times we'd just rush through that thing and we really wouldn't get... Did you get that ring around your neck? I still hear that. Amen. I don't know about you, Archie, but I still, because I wear these white shirts, and boy, we're made out of dirt anyway. You knew that, didn't you? Hey, man, that stuff will come out of your skin, and I'll tell you, did you get that place around? Did you get all those nooks and crannies? Did you get completely clean? That's what the word means, to be fully washed. Now, these rains that's coming today, you can get out there and probably get a pretty good bath. Amen. That's what it means, fully washed. Boy, there's times that, man, we'll just hurry up and we'll just kind of run through the shower and maybe we don't get fully clean. But hallelujah to the Lamb of God, when you get to Calvary, I want you to know, thank God He washes us as white as snow. Thank God. Aren't you glad of that this morning, church? It means to be fully washed, or to wash fully. It also means to have remitted or to be forgiven. Thank God. To wash away. Then it comes also from a word which means off or away, which denotes separation. That means that they're gone. Notice he says in that text, and so were some of you. There's some of us here this morning that wouldn't want to tell our total background. Amen? I mean, let's just be honest. Oh, preacher, I've just been the perfect little fellow, I had never done anything wrong. Well, I'd like to talk to you after service. Amen? I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care who your mom and daddy was, your grandma and your grandpa was. You are a sinner today. Now, some of us may not have got in deepest sin as some had got, but listen, it don't really matter. Huh? Amen. Sin is sin in the eyes of God this morning. I'm just glad, thank God, when you get to the place that you repent and ask Christ to forgive you of that sin, I'm glad, thank God, He washes it, and He washes it fully, and He washes it away. And such were some of us wouldn't want to tell our full history. I'll just be honest with you, I ain't telling you mine. I don't really want to know yours. Why? Because God already knows all about it this morning. I'm just glad when I got to Calvary, He said, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Hallelujah. Thank God. I once was lost, but now I have been washed. I have been washed. I'm going to give you a couple of things here this morning. Titus. Again, which denotes separation. In other words, it's gone. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His, I love this next word, but according to His mercy. That's shouting ground right there. Even on a rainy, windy day, that is still shouting ground this morning. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I say glory right there.
I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God right there. He washed me. Let me give you a couple of things about that. First of all, I want you to notice I was once lost, but now I've been washed. John chapter number 3, verse number 8, as Jesus is talking to Peter, he says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What separates you and I today from those that Paul mentions in verse 9 and 10? We have been washed. We have been washed. That's the thing that differentiates. Listen, we may have too been just like some of the people Paul's talking about, but if you've been washed, friend, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Because it's been washed. And Jesus reminds Peter there in that great context, and I'm not going to get into that this morning, but he tells him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Friend, if you've not been to Calvary, if you've not allowed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash you and cleanse you this morning, can I invite you to a place called Calvary today? Thank God what he's been doing for 2,000 years, he's real good at, and he continues to do it today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah, and thank God for that today. People need to wake up. Everybody's not going to heaven, as I've already said. And it's not because you can't go. It's because you won't meet God's requirement to go. Oh, Lord, if there's anybody here today, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would speak to your heart and help you to see that you need to be washed. You need to get cleaned up, and you can't do it yourself. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I thought about three things. I thought about Paul's petition. Again, to remind them of what God had done for them. You know, this morning, if nothing else, I pray that God would remind you and I of that which he has already done for us. I once was lost, but now I have been washed. And so we see Paul's petition. Not only do I see Paul's petition, but I also see the procedure, and that is the washing. In the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1, and verse number 5 in the B part of that verse. John the Revelator, unto him that loved us. Why would a holy God do something like that for me? And why would a holy God do something like that for you? Simply because, according to the book of the Revelation, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus this morning. It is the blood of Jesus that washes us and makes us clean in the sight of Almighty God. And nothing else will. As Paul is addressing these folks at Corinth, and he's going down that list of sin. Then he says, and such were some of you. And that shouting ground, were some of you. Were some of you. That means something took place. Can y'all remember a time and a place when something took place? We have Paul's petition of reminding us, but then was there a procedure that took place in your life? That your sin was washed away. And you know how if you've been out working and you're dirty and you're filthy and you go in, you climb in the shower or the bathtub. Or when I was growing up, we had some of them number 2 washing tubs. Anybody ever took a bath in one of them? Them kids are going, what is the number 2 washing tub? Yeah. Man, you ain't never had a good bath. You had a bath in a number 2 washing tub. Been out dirty. I mean, out playing, get dirty and filthy. Out working, get dirty and filthy. And just get there and let that water run all over you.
and get you cleaned up, and you feel refreshed and you feel clean. Oh, my soul friend, I know it's not about feeling, but boy, I'm glad, thank God, the procedure that took place on that Sunday morning when I walked out by faith and repented of my sin and asked Christ to come into my heart. I'm glad, thank God, He washed me and made me clean. Thank God. I'm telling you what, it feels good when you get a good washing from the Master, thank God, this morning. There is Paul's petition. There is the procedure. And again, that's the supernatural act of God. People want today say, well, I'll try to do better. Anybody else ever tried to do better before they got saved? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll do better. I can even dress up like them people down there at the church. There's one thing about you, you can put a, it's been said so many times, you can put a suit of clothes on a pig, but you still got a pig. And it won't be long till he'll run to the mud hole somewhere and he'll want and run every one of them clothes. Can't clean yourself up. It's a supernatural act of God. There's the petition, there's the procedure. And then thirdly, I thought about the price. The price. If you'll notice in this same chapter, and of course I know it's dealing with a little bit different subject, but if you still got your Bible open there, look in verse number 20 for the sake of time. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Somebody had to pay a price so you and I could get clean. They didn't have to go down to Walmart or down to the Family Dollar or the Dollar General and get the soap suds and all that. Now, if you take a bath at home, you got to do that. Either that or like, now, I said I took a bath in the number 2 Washington, but I never did have to do it with Lye soap. Anybody here have to go with Lye soap? All right, good deal. Amen. Yeah, somebody back here saying, yeah, I know what that is. Amen. Somebody had to pay a price. I'm glad this morning to report to you that, thank God, 2,000 plus years ago on a hill called Mount Calvary, I'm glad somebody loved me enough and somebody loved you enough and somebody loved this world enough to pay the price so that you and I could be washed and redeemed by the good grace of God. I once was lost, but now I've been washed. And you know, not only have I been washed now, but I thought about this as I was studying. He continues to wash me. You know, it's kind of like when you get out in this world, you're going to get dirty. You're going to get filthy. Things are going to come in your mind. You're going to say something. You're going to do something. Aren't you glad, thank God, you can run back to the same one that washed you before and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And He'll do it again. And He'll do it again. And He'll do it again, thank God. You were washed. Notice in the text, I once was lost, but now I've been washed. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Secondly, but ye are sanctified. I was lost, but now I've been washed. I was lost, but now I've been sanctified. Oh, preacher, what does all that mean? Well, let me just give you a few things in. As you study your Bible, there's a lot of references that we could use this morning, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to try to give you the highlights here. But now I've been sanctified. The word sanctified is to make holy. Do you think about somebody that was as dirty and rotten and filthy as you and I were? Oh, preacher, I wasn't about. Yes, you was. Yes, I was. And then God do a work of sanctification in our life. To make us holy. What did He say? Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Now, there's not much preaching on holiness anymore. But I believe we ought to live holy, separated, consecrated lives. Why? Because, yes, we were one time like that, but now you've been washed, but now you've been sanctified. That word sanctified means to set apart. God's not going to use us
God can't use us. Now, I realize that God could even turn the heart of Pharaoh and use that. I understand all that. I'm talking about in the year 2018, if God's going to use you and I effectively, I believe that we're going to have to be sanctified, set apart, consecrated, committed to our Lord and our Savior and the things of God. There's a lot of foolishness going on today. I'll just be honest with you. There's a lot of foolishness going on. I believe it breaks the heart of God to know that God paid such a great price for our salvation and our redemption. And then people say, yes, I'm saved, but then there seems to be no sanctification. Now let me say this work of sanctification, just as the washing, I believe is a continual work of God in our life. Let me say, not only is the washing a supernatural act, but also the sanctification is a supernatural act. Why? Because we can't make ourselves holy. Now, I know we've all run into those people that thought they were holier than thou. I mean, they done had God figured out. They had Christianity figured out. They had all the things in the church. I mean, man, they just had it all together. Wrong. That's wrong. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible also says our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. I think Brother Chris mentioned that last week. Man, to think God could take somebody like me, and God could take somebody like you, and wash us, and sanctify us, consecrate us, set us apart for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for our honor and glory. It's not for us to get gain and glory and praise. It's that He might get the glory. He might get the praise. And we might point someone to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The word sanctification, to make holy, to purify, as we said, to consecrate or to set apart. Again, it's the supernatural act of God to set us apart for the Master's glory and use. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter number 5, and certainly there's some great things there speaking of the husband and the wife and the family. Then you come down to verse number 26, that He might sanctify, speaking of the bride of Christ now, that He might sanctify it, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. How does the sanctification come about? Of course, again, the supernatural act of the Holy Ghost of God and through the Word of God. That's the reason that we want to have services. Amen. Why? Because we all need something from heaven. We need something from the Word of God that will draw us closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to use you, friend. God wants to use me. God wants to use this church. But I believe He'll only use those that will truly allow themselves to be sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. Now you think about God being able to take folks like He's mentioned in those two preceding verses, and somebody like me and you, and wash us, and then sanctify us, set us apart, and say, I want you to worship me. I want you to serve me. I've got something I want you to do. None of us are worthy. None are worthy. None of us are worthy. But aren't you glad God can save us? Yes, I once was lost, but now I've been washed, I've been sanctified, set apart for the glory of God. And you say, well, preacher, you don't look like much. I know that. But you don't see me like God sees me. Oh, glory to His name. How about stop right here and preach a while? I'm glad when He looks at me, I'm glad He sees not me and who I was, but boy, I'm glad He sees the work, the supernatural act, the supernatural work that He's done in my life. And friend, he can do it in yours as well. Let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture, and I've got to move on here. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I truly believe there's been folks that's been saved over the years, and yes, the partial work of sanctification has took place in their life, but for some reason there's things they won't let go of. There's things they don't want to commit. There's things that they don't want to lay aside. Man, we ought to give it all to Him because He wants to use us. I once was lost, but now I'm washed. But now I'm sanctified. And then he goes on and he uses one more word here. Notice in the text. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Again, this work of justification is another supernatural act of God that takes place in the life of those that will trust Him as Savior. You can't justify yourself. Now, we've all run into people that tries to justify everything they do. Well, you can go way back to the book of Genesis. Well, God, if it hadn't been for that woman that you gave me, hadn't it been for her, I wouldn't be in trouble. Well, the woman says, well, it hadn't been for that serpent. Boy, we live in a time and in a generation, they're going to blame everybody. They're going to blame everybody for everything that's going on in their life. Man, sometimes you just need to suck it up and say, I'm the one. We can't justify ourselves. I once was lost, but I have been justified. Somebody said it like this, and I know you've heard it before, but let me remind you of it again. Just if I had never sinned. Now you think about your life. Now I know some of the folks in here, they got saved at an early age, and maybe they didn't get into some of the things that some of the rest of us have maybe over our lifetime, and maybe you have. But see, it really don't matter. Hey man, it really don't matter this morning. If it's under the blood, it's gone, as I've already said. And not only have you and I were one time lost, and not only have we been washed, not only have we been sanctified, but we have been justified. In other words, when God looks at me, He says, not guilty. When God looks at you, that have been saved and redeemed by the good grace of God, He looks at you, hallelujah, and says, not guilty. When you know within your own heart and mind, the devil takes you back to things that you know you were guilty of. Does he ever take anybody else back there? Oh, yeah. He'll take you back to those places. He'll bring those things to your mind. But friend, when He does that, you just come back to this text and say, oh yes, I once was lost. I once was lost, but I have been washed. I have been sanctified. I have been justified by the power of Almighty God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And devil, there's not one thing you can do about it. Glory to His name. I have been justified. The word justified, to render just or innocent. Could you imagine somebody that would not be charged with a crime Now, there are cases where people are charged falsely.
Now, I know everybody in prison says they're not guilty. But I think all of us know that's not so. But there are times that people get charged with a crime, and maybe they weren't. And they go before the lawyers, they go before the judges, they go before the jury. And could you imagine as they're sitting there waiting? The jury's deliberating. Man, you're sitting there going, I wonder how this thing's going to turn out. I wonder how this thing's going to turn out. The jury comes back in. The judge comes back in. He tells you to rise for the verdict. And they come back in and they say, not guilty. Not guilty. Well, you and I this morning were guilty. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But even the Bible talks about, of course, Satan going and daily charging us before the throne of grace. But aren't you glad? Thank God. There's one there that looks at him and says, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Amen. To render innocent or guilt-free. Man, there's a horrible feeling when you get caught up with. Driving down the road, ain't a cop in sight, ain't a car in sight. I think I'll push the envelope a little bit today, Brother Randy. I believe I'll get her on up there. I get her up there to 5 mile and over. I get up there to 10 mile and over. Next thing I know, I'm going up 421. Boy, if you ever drive 421, you better watch out. Get her on up to about 12 or 15 miles, and boy, I'm moving on now. I'm going to get to where I'm going. All of a sudden, whoop, whoop, whoop. That sinking feeling. I got busted. Her mom and daddy, I got busted. I'm guilty. But God says, wait just a minute. Not guilty. Not guilty. Not because of any good I had done, but because of what He done at the cross of Calvary. That's the reason we should live our life separated and consecrated. That's the reason we ought to live different than what this world lives. We ought to live in different what religion says to live. Especially modern day religion. Amen. Just or in it, just if I had never sinned. Again, the supernatural act of God that renders the believer not guilty. I wrote down glory right there. Not guilty. Man, they were singing that old, that wonderful old song, the Ship of Zion. Man, that thing's going to come sailing through here one of these days. We leave him out. Could you imagine seeing the one that bled and died and suffered, not because we've done anything good, but because we received him by faith? How does this supernatural... Preacher, in case I was here and I've not experienced that washing, I've not experienced that sanctifying, I've not experienced that being justified, how could I experience that? Faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, does that make me perfect? No. That means that God is doing a continual work in each and every one of our lives. He wants to. The question is, are we letting Him? Are we letting Him? Let me give you this verse of Scripture and I'm done. Be getting the song ready, brother. Romans chapter 3. 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You know what the law was? It was a schoolmaster to teach us. To teach us that we had sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the law couldn't save. Well, I'm glad faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to the book of Galatians, and it talks more about that. And I'm not going to take time for that this morning, but The only way that you and I can be not guilty before God is to come through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been to Calvary? Yes, I one time was lost. But now, I have been washed. I have been sanctified. I have been justified because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say the same thing? I hope you can. I hope you can. I hope you can this morning. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm afraid there's going to be people that have sat on church pews week after week. And I pray there's not anybody like that here today, but if there is, please get right with God. And this thing's going to wind down. And they're going to depart either by death or by death or having to go through the tribulation and stand before God one day. But Lord, I done this. But Lord, I done that. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Listen, this is not rocket science. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I don't understand. I don't understand it all either. I'm just glad it's by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. He will wash you. He will sanctify you. He will justify you. And make you one of His own. And then for those that are saved, let's let God keep doing that work in our lives that He so desires to do. I've said it many times, and I'll say it in closing. I still love the little children's song, He's Still Working on Me. You mean, preacher, I got to come back and get saved again? No. No, it's not what I'm saying. When you get saved, you're saved. When you get washed, you're washed. As I said, I'm glad you can continue to go back when we do mess up and say, Lord, forgive me, and He'll do that. 1 John 1:9. But this morning, it's work you can't do yourself. You've got to let Him do that work in your life. How do you stand this morning? I once was lost, but now. Things are different now. They're not perfect, but they are different. And I thank God for that this morning. How about you? How do you stand with God today? Be a wonderful day. A day that you could remember a hurricane. Or the remnants of a tropical depression was coming through our area. Man, there was something far greater than that come through this area. And come through your heart. And that's the Holy Ghost of God that will change your life. Let's stand to our feet, Brother Scotty. Father, we do love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the Word of God. And I realize this morning that I've not even scratched the surface of the greatness of these verses of Scripture. But Lord, I am glad today that, as I've already said many times throughout the message, I once was lost, but now. Thank You, Father, for coming by my way one day and showing me my sinful, lost condition and washing me and sanctifying me and justifying me. Not because I was worthy, but because You loved me and You had mercy on me. And Lord, You pointed me to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Father, there may be somebody here today that's never trusted You as their Savior. I pray, God, this morning that You would convict them and draw them. Maybe there's somebody here today out of the will of God. And maybe You're trying to do a greater work of sanctification in their life, setting them apart for a particular reason and a particular task. But Lord, maybe they're resisting that. I just pray that, Father, You touch all of us and help us today. Help us to rejoice in the very fact of what You've already done in our hearts and our lives. That supernatural act that, Lord, only You could do. Take the invitation, Father. You use it. Lord, we'll thank You and we'll praise You. And it's in Christ's name. Amen.